Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. I'm your host, finally got my seat back, Tima at teams underscore GH.
Philippa at Philippa Echo.
Shy at Shy Carter.
Lauren at Lauren Coys.
Ella at LFCLs.
Well, 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 Ella. Mm. Well, well, well. There's only one place to start, and that is events at Old Trafford.
Where do I even begin?
I should pull up the jeans. I'm not watching the visuals.
I'll just run through the game. First 35 minutes, rubbish. Then, you know what? Then Endo, fair enough to him, was the only one who took initiative in our midfield and actually did a bit of link-up play. Unfortunately, his goal was offside, so that was a warning sign for United. Then we scored two quick goals. Half-time, all good. Second half, we were just complacent. We were dominant, but we didn't finish our chances. And you just knew that at the back end of the game, United will come into it, and we just didn't kill the game. I mean, Gakpo, never again.
What do you mean, never again?
That cameo, never again.
As in, he can never do a cameo again? Or?
No, never do that cameo.
Oh,
again.
Okay, okay.
It was horrendous.
I mean, if you said never again, I would have been fine with that too. I've never liked him. Sorry.
Never liked
no.
him?
I'm
no,
not a fan.
No, she didn't like him.
Why?
He's been in very poor form.
I was going to say, what do we have from him to be like, why should I like him?
It's not his best position.
No, to be honest, like, I think the nine is his best position. Like, when he was in really good form, that's where he was playing. But this season, he just hasn't got going. And when we've needed him, he hasn't stepped up. He had to come on and do something. We had a 5-on-2. Didn't even have a shot on goal. It's just shameful.
But is it? I mean,
it's not just him. Yeah. All of the forwards were rubbish. I thought Salah was rubbish. I thought Diaz was very poor.
As usual.
I'll get onto him. But all very poor.
I don't know. It just sounds like what we've been saying all season. It's like you're doing really well, but
no. To be honest, with Liverpool's attack, it's not often that every single one of them have a poor, poor game.
They just usually rotate it.
They usually rotate it. Exactly. And it's these games, this is where the quality shows, where you had Firmino, Mane and Salah and these lot. Ooh. That is... Ooh. I'm sorry.
They have downgraded in every position.
They're fighting for the league title.
Yeah, we are.
I honestly think, yeah. Do you know, I'm happy that Liverpool lost. Because finally, they can't keep shithousing their way through the entire season. Mm. At some point, they've got to pay. Like, no offense, Ella, I really do love you, but she's been sat here on a high horse with these shit performances. Like, when you look at it, right? If Ella can name 10 games against medium to top quality opposition where Liverpool have controlled the game rather than it's ping pong, but we have the better finishers, so we're gonna win. Liverpool haven't won like that all season, but they've just been jammy. I was so happy that they lost. And of course, they can finally shut up about a quad again.
No, for real. Like, listen.
Yeah, but does it really? I was always wondering, how does it count as a quadruple?
No, it's quad, not the quad.
they also say they have a treble, not the treble.
Do your people say that?
Yes.
No, nah, man, find shame.
Yeah, what do you mean?
No. But come on, man.
Why?
When we say the treble, yeah. When we say the treble,
but we're
not thinking about.
But we're not saying the treble, we're saying a treble.
They won the equivalent of the Europa League and two cups and a cup and something like that.
Sorry, but we know when we're talking about a team winning a treble. We know which treble we are.
We're talking about the Premier and just competition.
Like a
quadruple as well.
Anyway,
and this is someone who wants to win the Europa League. Do you know what I mean? So, I'm not being
and Pip can speak from experience because her fan base chant "Champions of Europe."
Yeah,
having won.
Like to chat shit all the time.
Number one, the Conference League.
It's in European pedigree in that, isn't it?
Mm.
I'm sorry, that made me sick.
You can call me European pedigree than some people who support.
Don't do that. Team up. Listen, I love to twist the knife as much as I can for everybody.
Anyway, before we get on
in the context.
So you think that the reason why you lost the game was because of your forwards? Because I would look at the substitutions that Klopp made and say that they were not effective.
Yeah, I mean, Gakpo was included in that. Elliot was included in that. Even though he scored, that break in the last minute, I don't know what he was doing for that. He should have taken down whoever went past him. That was schoolboy.
Like what Valverde did to Morata, man. Sometimes you just have to...
It's schoolboy. Just kick him. I don't care. Just kick him.
Professional foul and that.
Exactly. Mm.
I'd also say that there was a moment in the second half, I think it was around the 80th minute, where you had a 5-on-2.
Yeah, that's Gakpo.
But wasn't the pass from Elliot?
So Gakpo had the five options, and I think he picked Elliot, who was slowing down, and it just kind of... Elliot wasn't great, but it just fizzled out. It was a very easy... Gakpo just did not make the right choice at all, to be honest.
How old is Gakpo?
He's like 24.
Oh, he got time. He deserves patience.
He's got time, but listen...
He hasn't reached Shai's customary 25. Mm. As soon as he turns 25, this time next season, the opinion will be different.
I mean, if they have patience with Diaz, they should have patience with Gakpo.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Diaz wasn't the worst today, so...
Who was the worst?
Ooh. There's competition.
She said, ooh.
There is competition, because actually, I'm giving it to Nunes, because those 3 minutes were absolutely disgraceful. I mean... We were 2-1 up.
I mean, you had a part to play in your second goal.
Nah, but do you know what it was, Shai? It was when we were 2-1 up in extra time. We had a great situation. He lost the ball, and then he passed it to them for the equaliser, I think. Rubbish. Just rubbish. Sorry.
I think as bad as Liverpool were, which I think actually both teams had moments in the game, and both teams looked poor in large parts of the game. So it was kind of like he was... passing the baton back and forth. And if it was a Premier League game, a draw would have been probably a fair result. But looking at that Manchester United performance and coming back, even though they did lead, Shai, what do you reckon that does for them and their confidence going into the latter part of the season?
Nothing.
I was about to say
you asked her that question.
You knew.
I think with United, as poor as they've been recently, they always have it in them to get up for a big game, especially at Old Trafford. Unless it's Man City, they just bend their backs over. But apart from that, they have it in them to get up for a big game. And I think even when you look at the goals that Liverpool scored, that first one should never, ever go in. I don't care if it took a deflection. Onana was going that way, it's your near post.
Mm.
As a keeper, you never get beat at your near post. It wasn't even a finish where it was like, oh, it's going high in the net. He got his hand to it. He just... Anyway, it's not my club. Not my problem. But United, they got some big games coming up. They play Liverpool again in 3 weeks. They got Arsenal to come to Old Trafford. What other top six game do they have left?
Chelsea?
You know that kind of...
That is the worst top six. That is terrible.
She said top six.
should have said big six.
Sorry, we didn't hear you.
Sorry, I just don't know why she said Chelsea, because it wasn't part of the conversation. Come on.
No, but when you say, let's not do that. When you say top six, you know who you're talking about. Let's not do that.
Yeah, but it's not the same this season. Big six rather than top six, you know what I mean?
Whether we're in the top six or not, like, because Man United are not in the top six either. So then what are we doing here?
Big six. We switched to big until the teams recovered their form.
Yeah.
We did.
Anyway, Shai, you was rudely interrupted.
So yeah, I think they will have no problems getting up for those games, but then it's the other ones, like the smaller teams or the more inferior teams on paper, where Ten Hag and his boys just don't seem to get it together. And I think as well with United, their defending is so bad that you always have a chance against them. Like, even when you look at that game today, Liverpool weren't in the game for 35 minutes. Somehow they went in up at half time. It made no sense. Like, before they got the equaliser, they had done nothing. Literally nothing. And they went in ahead. So, to me, what does that do for them? Nothing much. You'll still see United go like this for the rest of the season. I just hope they take points of Liverpool.
But for Egghead, do you think it actually maybe gives him a bit more chance to keep the job?
I don't think he was going to lose his job anyways.
You don't think so?
No. No.
Do you guys think he's going to lose his job?
And he's not going to win the cup either. It's just going to stay.
I think they've got a good chance, you know.
Do you think they're beating Man City? Do you think you're beating Man City?
No.
Okay. team is the biggest realist here, come on.
Yeah, let's be fucking for real. You're not winning that game. Man City, Wembley, absolutely not. I don't know. I think potentially.
I think he was always gonna last at the summer. I don't know. It depends how much any of us want to do in the summer.
Yeah. I suppose I mean in the summer, do you think he keeps his job?
Yeah.
I don't think it's... obviously, United are well off where they need to be. But I think because they keep showing these random performances where it's like, oh, clearly they are playing for him. Clearly they can do it on their day. That, it's kind of like, do you sack him? Or do you buy better players?
I feel like it just depends where they want to go with the project. Like, they seem to be putting all the tools in place to help the manager succeed with, like, the technical director and all these things that they want. So it's just like, I don't know. But then again, you also have the risk of, do you keep backing Ten Hag if he's not in your long-term vision and invest more money into the summer with a manager that you don't see being the long-term
But you could become successor. Chelsea. And that's, they could also be looking at what's happened to Chelsea by changing too much too soon. And then you risk going even further backwards.
But I suppose if you look at the United situation, and I know they haven't had a takeover, this guy.
But it basically is. If they're running football operations, then it is a takeover, because the whole, that element of actually the day-to-day of running of the football club has changed.
So, but with that, you always want to bring in your own person. And but let's be honest.
I feel like also it depends on how the Champions League thing goes. If we have five places come
we will have five. It's almost certain.
No, Italy.
It's almost certain.
I mean, there's no Italian teams left in Champions League. It's almost certain. There's quite a few left in the Europa League. Yeah. And then it's also the Germans. I think those are the two above England right now on the coefficient. But if they manage to get fifth place or fourth place, given how Tottenham and Villa are performing recently. Sorry.
It's all right, mate.
Like, you know, Ten Hag will stay. Because I think I saw somewhere that if United don't make Champions League, they get a £70 million fine from Adidas.
Fine?
Yeah. They get a £70 million fine.
What
kind of deal
did they make? I was going to say, what sort of contracts are these?
Exactly. You usually get a bonus.
They get a
£70
million fine from Adidas.
Do they get fined coming for being...
No, they get fined if they don't make the Champions League.
That's crazy.
They, I think it's like 70 million.
Greed this deal.
But they have I think they have the biggest kit deal in the world, no?
Yeah, they do.
Most money.
Yeah, because they're still Manchester
United. So it's like, if you're...
They'll sell the most shirts.
I guess, I don't know, Champions League TV revenue streams.
It makes sense. It does. It sounds stupid to us.
From
Manchester United. But it does make sense in terms of, we're giving you this amount of money, you need to have these many eyeballs on you, as, like, from a marketing point of point of view, it makes sense. But
let's be honest, sometimes if you're in Europa League, you're playing football when people are going home from work.
Ella?
I can't argue. Hey, that's rude.
I can't, listen, I can't argue. I've missed a lot of Liverpool games because of that, because of work. So.
I was there at 4 to 6.
It was true.
No, it's interesting. It's interesting. I don't know. Like, you always hear these rumours about them being linked to Southgate and Harry Potter.
Yeah, they are. You know, I saw that as well. Boy.
If they can, I'm praying they get Potter.
I don't really care. But that means Southgate if has departed England. Fantastic.
They're not coming back anywhere.
Oh, of course.
Interesting.
No,
it's not interesting. It's the
truth. No, I don't.
He's very overrated. Sorry.
We're about to see, aren't we?
Yeah.
Javi will also be available.
He ain't going to Liverpool.
Look at the way that she looked at you.
I thought we were talking about United. No. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. No, I thought we were talking about United. Pardon?
Xavi will never go to... Oh, Xavi.
Wait, did you say... Are you talking about Alonso or Xavi? Because they're both available.
I was talking about Xavi in relation to the United job as in a manager that will become available.
I thought you meant Xavi as in the Barca manager.
Yes, Xavi that used to play next to Iniesta.
Yeah. She wasn't talking about Xavi.
He's never going to United.
But in terms of, because I feel like with Ineos, I know that they've obviously got that club in France, but in terms of like, actual football specialists.
Who their fans also went out, by the way.
Yeah, it
could be something that they, if they do make a change, that it's left field because they don't have that much, like, actual football experience. Yeah. They could just be going for a name or a brand or a style of football to make that wholesale change.
Mm. I thought Manu, is his name Manu?
Yeah. Or Minor, Kobe Minor.
He was fantastic today. I'm sorry.
He's been fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I imagine Jordan Henderson is going to the international squad ahead of him.
Can I just say that he needs to not like forget about what Gareth Southgate says to him in whispering sweet nothings into his ear and go and play for the land of his father. Because he needs to be...
Yeah, he's gone in.
You listen.
And I'm pretty sure it's Mainu, but Mainu, I'm not sure.
He needs to look at Tomori and see what Gareth Southgate has done to him, what he's done to Tammy Abraham. He's not your friend. He's not your friend.
Yeah, but you just hold off, because if he goes in the summer...
Kobe's got time. I think... Kobe?
He's only 18.
Kobe?
No, he's got time. So the dream to play for England...
Ghana.
Let me finish. I would rather he follows Tariq Lamptey and, you know, and plays for Ghana, but he's got time and he's only going to get better. This international break that's coming, like, it doesn't really mean anything, let's be honest, because we know that Gareth's going to do whatever he wants to do. So he could have picked him and it still wouldn't necessarily mean that he goes on the plane in the summer. So I think if I'm Kobe, I'm thinking I'm 18, it's not now, but in 2 years' time, there's a World Cup. I go. Do you know what I mean?
It requires... It requires somebody else to depart.
Yes, I know, but
I think several.
But I think by that time,
no, not in the squad. I mean the manager.
No, 100% the manager.
Sorry, Southgate is the manager in 2 years.
I don't know. But like the thing is, in 2 years' time, several of the senior people age up and they move out.
Oh, that's what you don't think.
Only Henderson.
If Henderson doesn't retire, he will be
selection
every time.
It requires Southgate.
Southgate literally put it out there because he knew publicly he would get backlash for it. He can't select you if you're playing in Saudi Arabia. Jordan Henderson magically moves to Ajax, who he hasn't been playing well for.
I was going to say, did any of you see that Ajax game?
He showed his ass in those.
On Thursday, he was terrible.
Like, before, I used to defend it, and I used to say that, speaking on the England setup, that technically Rice is the only DM this country has. Yeah. That's of a good standard, right? But it's like, I would rather you use Conor Gallagher in the six than fucking Jordan Henderson again and again and again.
Barkley, there's actually many people that could go ahead of
him. Yeah, who is the other? Okay, speaking like realistically, who's the other DM you could take as Rice's backup? In the unlikely event that he gets injured,
durable. He'll play every game.
Yeah, that's what, in the unlikely event that he gets injured,
then you take put Trent there.
First of all, Calvin Phillips is the first person in the history of England where you weren't playing on the bench and you were getting picked, and now you actually play, you don't get picked. That's terrible, first of all.
Yeah, because Gareth would have been looking at his West Ham performances. And
but
thought,
the reason why it annoys me with Southgate is because he's so pick and choosy with the players where he thinks form matters compared to when it doesn't. Maguire sat on the bench for Manchester United.
He's a liar.
He started the whole tournament.
He likes there his was leadership.
Yeah, he's got his core group, yeah, and he will make the team around them.
Yeah, but then I'm sorry, that's bullshit.
No, 100%.
Because the players that you're talking about, who they're so reliable and they always perform for England, Sterling hasn't made the last two squads. He saved your asses in both tournaments, which he represented you in. All of a sudden, it's like, where's the place for Sterling? That's why I respect Ben White. Ben White told him, if I'm not playing, I ain't coming.
Okay, let's go on to England because, I mean, Ella, we'll come back to Liverpool.
We don't have to.
I'm not finished. I'm not finished. any time that Klopp gets humbled, listen, I'm there.
Okay.
Anyway, so I think it's interesting this. This is the last squad before the Euros, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the choices that he's made and choices he hasn't made are quite interesting. And obviously the biggest story coming out of it is Ben White refusing to get called up for England. Not having the balls to tell Southgate himself, by the way.
Mm.
Having Edu.
So what if he sent Edu? So what?
If you're going to stand on business, stand on business.
Yeah, and Arsenal stood on business.
No,
Arsenal
not
first, England second.
He should stand on business.
No. The bright people that need to defended him.
No. Why is he not
Why
making
do, Why does Arsenal have to defend him? Yeah, it's got nothing to do with Arsenal. Player. Yeah, but it's got nothing to do with Arsenal. It's him as the player. Well, if he doesn't want to go, that's absolutely fine. I think, you know.
But technically, officially, a club has to release their player to go on international duty. So that, the club does have a level of involvement of an international squad, but at the same time, man, you should just phone him and tell him about himself.
Mm. Mm. You should just
he fell out, right, with one of the coaches,
Steve Holland,
over some training drills.
But also, apparently, he's not good.
Have been picked anyways. He's like fourth choice at right.
No, but then this is why that's what they're all saying. It's like, yes, they're saying that he fell out with Steve Holland. Yes, they're saying that he didn't really get along with the squad. And it was uncomfortable for him. But they're just saying that he just didn't find his people.
Awkward person.
He just didn't find his people, and it got back.
He doesn't like football either. To be in that camp, probably if you're not a football person,
does he really not like football?
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't watch anything.
I just feel like he sees Ben White is different to other footballers in which, and he's been completely honest about it. He sees football as a job.
This is 9 to 5.
He's very good at his job, and that's just how he sees. He's not one of those people where I eat, sleep, breathe football, and he's not the first to lie about it.
But he's not the first person, and he won't be the last. Mm. Asu Okotu said the same thing.
Yeah,
Bobby Zamora said, you know, if you're a plasterer, you go, you plaster, you come home, you don't come and watch changing rooms at home, do you? So it's one of them things where it's like, I can't, obviously we love football, so we don't really necessarily understand it, but I can't be mad at it. But yeah, all of these things on top of the fact that he just feels like, if I'm not going to play, what's the point? And some people really feel strongly about playing for the national team, and some people just don't.
Wait, I'm sorry. I just looked at the England squad again. Mm. Ivan Toney got a call up for what?
Don't even get me started.
Listen, I'm coming on.
Tiva's got the agenda ready, don't worry.
I don't think Ben White is a right back for England. I don't think you look at him as a right back for England. He's a centre back for England.
But I think either way, whether he's right back or centre back, because of the way that Southgate manages the team and the squad, he's just at the back of the queue. Like either position, there were numerous players. Like the fact that Harry Maguire, like it doesn't matter if he plays for United
but
or not.
For me,
it doesn't matter if he
John
plays
Stones
well
is the only English centre back better than Ben White.
Like it doesn't matter how good they are. That's what I'm saying. Like
as a centre back,
like
absolutely, Maguire is not better than him.
Trent can't get minutes. Trent barely gets minutes for England.
I'm just trying about that one.
I'm trying to think through the centre-backs.
Sorry. Shida says a lot of things on this pod. And I let a lot of it slide.
I would have Tomori.
Hang on, one second. You're so lucky you're hosting today.
Okay.
Because you want to talk to me about centre-backs. The guy that you told me is better than Gabriel, did he see his own goal today?
We'll come to that. Let's be organized
today.
Our listeners are rolling their eyes. Come on.
Back to the England conversation, right?
Back
for
to
me,
conversation.
I'm not even like Arsenal fans know when it comes to Ben White, I'm not his biggest fan. But for me, in that England squad, I don't think Conte's better centre back than Ben White. I don't think Tomori is a better centre back than Ben White. I don't think Gaye is better than a better centre back than Ben White. The only centre back in that England squad, and I will stand 10 toes on this, is John Stones.
When
that
was the
is
last
it.
Time he played centre back? It's just a genuine question. When was the last time he played?
Probably when Saliba got injured.
So a year ago?
Yeah, probably.
I don't
difficult
know. Argument.
Yeah,
I was gonna say I don't know. I don't see him as a great. I think he's a great right back. I don't think he's a great.
Do you think he's better than Colwell at centre back?
Oh yeah. Goodness, not sort of.
Brav.
I don't like. I said, John Stones for England is the only centre back in that camp that is a better centre back. Ben White.
The last time Ben White played centre back
for club.
For club was when Saliba got injured.
Yeah.
And that coincided with you not winning the league.
No, he had to continue at right back because Tomiyasu also got injured and Rob Holding played. So get your facts straight, no, Tima.
No, but I'm just asking, I'm just trying to establish the
all we wanted to do was discuss the
Anyway, moving on. I think the thing about Ben White is that you take him, if you're going to do it in England squad, you take him as a 23rd player. No. So he's listen. If everybody's fit, he's somebody who can play multiple positions. So you won't take him as part of the, let's say, initial 22, because at right back, I think there's no chance. If everyone's fit, there's absolutely no chance.
Yeah.
Even at centre back, I'm not convinced.
I disagree with all of you.
And then, can he play left back?
No.
Okay, you can't play left back. So if you're going to take him, you're going to take him as a utility player.
White is above a utility player. You guys sound like Southgate right now. He's poisoned all your minds.
Southgate has not poisoned my mind.
He's not like Barbara, isn't it? Because Trippier will play either
exactly.
side.
And he's shocking.
I never said he was good. That's what happens.
What you have to understand is.
Yeah, but I want to have a conversation. I don't want to hear what Southgate will do because we're not Southgate.
Yeah, but that's the manager of the team.
We are not Southgate.
So if you're saying that, then yes, there's conversations to be had. But we're just saying his positioning right now is that you don't make it into the squad, unfortunately. So farewell. If you don't feel like going, don't go. Take yourself to Dubai. Take yourself to Mobs.
I don't think he's going that far, man. He's just going to the tanning shop.
But the natural rays are better than the 15-minute rays.
But he doesn't look like he's using the natural.
Oh, we're going back to Dubai.
What was I going to say about Ben White? I think there's ways to reject a call-up and there's ways to reject it. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying you don't want to play for England, because me personally, I don't know if I would want to play for Gareth Southgate, because I just think as a manager he's terrible, and England should be far better than they currently are. They should have, in my opinion, at least one trophy, arguably two, in his period as England manager. But I think if you're not going to go, you make that phone call yourself. I'm sorry, you cannot rely on Edu making that phone call, because Ben White, as I said at the beginning of this conversation, if you're really about that business, stand on business. You make that call and say, look, I'm not going to play for you.
What difference does it make?
I think it does. It's like a respect thing.
Yeah.
It's like, when
Southgate gets sacked, that's behind Ben White. And then
do you think he's going to go again?
He needs to go. England, right now, I can tell you, they ain't winning shit. They're not winning one fuck, yeah?
Sorry. I heard my auntie in that. You know?
For real. So it's like, for me, more so than ever, like, usually, you know, you see the press, you read it, you get the England hype, the England gas. For me right now, the only two countries in Europe that you could say could rival the English squad is Portugal and France, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a talent pool right now, we have a better talent pool than the Germans. We got a better talent pool than the Italians. The Spanish are somewhat rebuilding. Mm-hmm. They're behind. And then the Netherlands, you know, they're just
Gakpo.
Yeah,
so it's like, when you look at the bigger nations in Europe, like, no disrespect to the smaller nations, England are up there, right? And as you said, Southgate should have had a trophy already. The fact that you let the Italians come and leave with the Euros on your own turf.
It's not going to. It's not coming home.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Then the World Cup. And it's just like, when is it going to be like, is enough with Southgate? This will be what, his fourth tournament?
He should have got sacked after the World Cup. Or he should have fallen on his sword and resigned.
The problem is that the media in his country love him because he gives them exactly what they want.
Because he wore a waistcoat.
He gives them access and gives them interviews. So they will never turn their back on him. And he's done the bare minimum for them to be like, okay, he's acceptable and England fans should get behind him. Whereas as England fans, or as fans of the national team, you can see the talent pool he has and how he has utilised them.
It's pathetic.
Is shocking. That game, that Euro, honestly, that Euro final should be studied as an absolute, like, as a moment of absolute disaster. How can you be one, you're at home, there should be half the people in the stadium, but the stadium's basically full.
It was, someone was sitting in my seat, actually.
It was over, when it was I got there, well oversubscribed.
Someone was sitting in my seat, and I was like, excuse me, sorry, in my seat. And he was like drunk off his face. He's like, oh, we can sit together. You can sit in the seat. I'll just stand. I said, no, go and stand somewhere else. Big old hunchback man in my seat. I was so upset.
That went alcohol shy. Just letting you know that now, babes.
But do you know what I mean? Like, he basically had a home stadium. He had about two Italian fans.
You're gonna get nobody disagreeing with you.
No.
But for me, you say that this is his fourth tournament.
Yeah, no,
it's because the media allow this mediocrity.
And my thing is, right, England, for me, as much, like, despite what the media say, they're not big boys when it comes to the international stage. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have a European Championship, you have one World Cup. You're like Leicester equivalent, right? So...
Damn, man, a 1966 boy is going to come after us.
Yeah, they can come after us all they want, but it's like, you can't sit here and say that... When it comes to the history of national tournaments, you wouldn't be up there with Germany, you wouldn't be up there with Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay and Italy. And every time we fail, is like, oh, it's unlucky. Nothing unlucky about it. The manager is shocking, right? He was good. First two tournaments, he's like, okay, now you've got the country back up. Mm-hmm. Put someone in place that's going to deliver the nation a trophy or get rid of him. He's not learning anything new. What did he do different from the Euros campaign compared to the World Cup? Nothing.
And you could argue that this is one of the best squads that England have had in decades.
Yes.
In terms of actual talent. Because when you look at some of like the core players that England should build their squad around, they are dominating at Real Madrid. They are winning trebles or whatever it is. They are performing at the highest level at some of the best clubs in the world. And they're one of these clubs' best players. Yeah, Southgate will play three at the back, play two DMs, and it's just kind of like you're watching the football and you're like, but why as a manager do you keep picking styles of play that doesn't suit the players that you have available? And if you can't get that fundamentally right, you need
to move
on.
Even when you look at it, Harry Kane's how old now, 30?
Yeah,
31. How many tournaments does the best striker this country has seen and however long have left in him? Until we have to see...
That man will be playing into his 40s.
But until
and he will never retire. He loves England.
But do you get what I mean? Like, but yeah, you have a striker you're wasting him. Then, okay, cool. Like, there's a lot of the better English players, they're quite young, 25 and under. So it's like, they got some years. When you look at it, right, how do you replace a calibre of talent that Harry Kane is at the top level if you're not going to, like, fucking... Ollie Watkins and Tammy Abraham and
what
that,
about
but what
Ivan
they
Tony?
Fuck off.
Sorry. Even Ivan Tony, Ivan Tony will be 30 soon, surely.
He will be. Yeah. It's the FA. All of this, we're like, this is the FA being lazy. Let's call a thing a thing. Like you said, Southgate is a great media darling. He's very comfy at St George's Park because he's been there for so long. Mm-hmm. He's done so many tournaments. It's easy. The FA went through so much turbulence with the Svens, with the Fabio Capellos, with the Roys. Like, they found something that doesn't rock the boat. And as far as they're concerned, getting to semis and getting to finals, we're ticking boxes. Mm. No, we want to win something, but they're lazy. This is all this is. Because, yes, okay, we get to the Euros and let's say we don't win. which, you know, probably likely. And then now what? Okay, you get rid of Southgate, and then they have to start this whole process. They don't want to. They are so lazy.
I'm telling you now, they get rid of Southgate, and it's not. It's the person that you think is going to take over Southgate isn't going to be the person that you think it is.
Graham Potter.
Listen, we can't.
It's either going to be Graham Potter or someone from within.
Yeah, the thing is, if they continue the Brexit beams, Brexit mentality, and they don't widen the net, then
it's going to be one of the two.
Yeah, but that's like,
who's doing like the under 21s and the under 18s and all that? It's going to be someone moving up in it.
But English coaches don't win anything, so why are we sitting here?
Doesn't matter because as far as they're concerned, you've got to think about the way that the world is at the moment, right?
I thought Klopp wanted to take a break.
No,
but international football, if you want to take a break, it suits you. You see your team four times a year. You got a competition one every 4 years.
Yeah, but you're supposed to go travel to watch the game.
He loves England. He loves England. And he loves the talent.
I see them.
I can't lie. I think if Klopp takes the England job, they might hang him in Germany. Honestly.
Whoa.
Not like, you get what I mean.
No, I get what you mean.
Literally, but especially because the two nations.
Well, I think he'll end up at Germany. German
That's probably his favourite one, but he would absolutely take that England job.
I just don't see
Trent.
I just don't see the English FA doing that. You have to think about the way that the world is, way society is at the minute. There is serious, like, you know.
What are you saying? Where's Kate?
Right. How did we get here?
Wow.
She's at home. I have theories. But anyway, like, yeah, I feel like the way that the sentiment in this country is, they're going to go for someone who's English and, you know, really drive that home. Because unfortunately at the moment.
Well, then they just don't want to win anything.
No, and they don't. But this is the thing. They don't. They don't care. This it's all about image.
People come on. Why don't you support England? Why? Why must I? Unambitious country.
I do it for vibes. I do it because it's fun at the pub.
With the French lot.
Exactly. The worst thing is when England are doing well, at least the country is happy.
The country's happy. The pub is popping.
Doing well until the final, then we all have to hide.
Stella Artois is popping.
Not where I live, babes. Maybe you do in your part of London, but where I live, we're the majority.
Lastly, before we move on from the England squads, what did you make of, I think obviously Shai touched on some of the striking options, some of the attacking options. Ivan Toney.
Horrible.
Getting picked before Solanke.
Yeah, I think that's horrible. That's a like, this is what I mean. Like, as an English player, right, especially not so much for tournaments, because every country, every manager has their core group of players that they're going to select. The French argue about it. Like, I've seen them. Everyone argues about it. That's fine. But for me, Ivan Toney doesn't deserve that call-up. He hasn't played football in 8 months. He scored, two or three goals so far since he's come back. But he's looked like someone that hasn't played football in 8 months. Solanke, for me, he's, second or third in goal scorers in the Premier League. He's worked his socks off. And alongside Ollie Watkins, outside of Haaland, you could say those two have been second and third best strikers in the league. You reward that as a manager, or else what is the point of declaring?
Southgate would have made Toney a promise, because Southgate was very outspoken when Toney was banned about how he thinks that the FA should stick by him. The same way Southgate promised Jordan Henderson, if you move to Saudi, I'm still going to pick you, don't worry. I think he made a promise to Ivan Toney that you will get back into the squad. Take the ban and you'll get back into the squad, because form-wise, it doesn't make sense for him to reappear. And to be honest, I personally don't want to see Ivan Toney at all. I think he's really disrespectful to Brentford.
He's
selling himself. And I actually feel like he's the more he appears anywhere, and obviously he's going to get more media now, he's part of the England squad, he's moving himself further and further away from a big club. But I agree, Solanke should have got called up, because if you don't reward good form, then for some people, it doesn't matter how well I play, I'm never going to get picked. But I just feel like there's something must have been there for Southgate to say, I'm still going to pick you, because it doesn't make sense. Because he hasn't played that well at all, really, since he came back.
For me, it's just disheartening. And obviously, we know the politics when it comes to declaring for your parents' nationality or something of the sort. Obviously, it's politics with money, payments, like where they sleep, all these kind of things. But for me, it's just like...
where they sleep?
Yeah, did you not see there was one time where the Gabon players were sleeping in the airport?
Yeah.
I'm a look at that later. Oh,
no, is, I'm not. But like
JFF are rubbish.
Yeah, everyone's been complaining about like playing for countries.
Yeah.
For those of us that come from third world countries, like no offense, I'm not
developing.
No, sorry. Right, my bad. But it's just like for me, if they could sort out their politics and.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Actually put just the football at the forefront. A lot of these players maybe will be more encouraged to say, like, respectfully, England, they are what they are. They're not going to choose me. And you have countries out there that will reward you for playing your socks off at club level. Like, you deserve to be rewarded. I think Braithwaite got his call up, deserved.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For, in my opinion. But it's just like, every tournament, same thing, same options. Like, don't get me wrong. From now to the end of the season, if Mount plays 10 games for Manchester United, he will be on that plane in summer.
And
I promise you he will be on that plane.
His position is too stacked.
Yeah. That's what you guys think, yeah?
It actually doesn't matter, Shad, because he's not going to play 10 games between now and the end of the season. Let's be absolutely real.
He came back today. I promise you, if Mount is not injured by the time that summer selection comes, you will see his, when you see midfielders, you will see Mason Mount.
So what European nation should I choose instead, guys? Because if I see Mount on that list, I'm not doing it.
I think it depends on how he plays.
Go Portugal.
Oh, I've got some Angolan friends.
Is Mbappe Ballon d'Or yet, man? He's bringing it.
Crashing on our head tops.
But yeah, like, I kind of agree with Lauren, Ivan Toney, someone should take away the mic. I feel like the way he speaks...
It was Real Madrid this week.
It's actually made me dislike. Brentford as well because it's like, why are you allowing me to disrespect you like this?
But the thing is, it's the arrogance Brentford that he says it with. For me, that is makes me uncomfortable, and the fact that when he, the way that they treated him when he came back, as if he was a prisoner of war. Honestly. Like,
or he'd done his ACL or something. Or like
he had been really wrong.
The prodigal son returns. Bruv, you were gambling.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it makes no sense.
He got caught, so.
Yeah, I think it was even like Arsenal no longer interested in him either because they don't like his behaviour.
Yeah, Chelsea because why would,
him,
like...
Arsenal don't want him.
Why would you?
Tottenham?
Huh?
I mean, why not?
Do you need a
nah, you're barking up the wrong tree with that one.
Chelsea don't want him. Arsenal don't want him. You're next best.
What?
Next best.
So
you think Ange Postecoglou would take Ivan Toney's character in the team?
Before Ange. You got packed 3-0 at the weekend, so maybe.
I didn't talk about quality. I talked about character.
We start at A and then we end up by T, bruv. Why?
Anyway, yeah, let's talk about that. Tottenham.
Talk about, sorry, that's not on the agenda. I'm filling in here because Anita's not here. I wasn't supposed to be on the episode. Spurs are not in the agenda, so I don't know why you've brought it up.
But you're here now, so why not? Let's talk about it.
Wait. What if I say, mate, would you now talk about it?
That was really good. Thank you.
Mate, can I say something? Not about your defeat, but about Ange and like his press conference yesterday. So it's a conversation about like foreign fans, right?
Whoa. What are we doing in the agenda?
No, because you said I just want to say because you're saying, mate, I'm just saying he annoyed me this weekend because he made it out like local fans don't like foreign fans. That's not the case. Local fans don't like clubs who take advantage of the fact that foreign fans will come and spend anything, which means that it prices out local fans. So, mate, you're annoying me right now.
What's happening at the moment in the Spurs fan base, which I think is wrong, is that obviously, like, Sonny is bigger than BTS in South Korea. He is a superstar.
And they're bigger than BTS?
Yeah, he's bigger than BTS.
Genuinely,
he's bigger than group BTS. The group.
You've never been erasured by a BTS Twitter.
No, she stays firmly in Chelsea.
He's a superstar. And a lot of South Korean fans come across to watch the games. And there are a lot of Spurs fans who keep complaining. But for me, a lot of those complaints are based in racism. They do, like, and it's specifically with the South Korean fans, and this is how this whole debate started.
Right.
They do not like the fact that the South Korean fans are there. When I go to Spurs, do you know where I see the South Korean fans? In the premium seats. Am I paying £350? To go, like, at the end of the day, whether they come because, like, if you are a fan, I mean, I think this was Angie's point, from around the world, it doesn't mean you love your club any less. And if you have the same way Brazilian fans will follow Richarlison more so than anything else. But the complaints always come when it comes to the South Korean fans and how they don't contribute to the atmosphere and all of this. My biggest issue with the atmosphere at Spurs is that White Hart Lane, they used to have singing fans in every single block. Now they all sit in one stand, and if they can't get themselves going, the atmosphere is very, very flat. But there's this inherent, and I do think it's the time that we're living in, and this kind of like the xenophobic, racist, like myriad of just shit that we're living in at the moment, that the South Korean Spurs fans are bearing the brunt of what are being called plastic fans or tourist fans or whatever it is. I do think Spurs need to stop exploiting its actual local fan base. For example, they just announced, and the same as Arsenal, that they're going to get rid of senior concessions and that half and the half price thing for OAPs. And it's like, well, if you've been buying a season ticket for 50 years and then now you get to the retirement age and they're taking that away. But for me, that's a separate issue. And I think what I don't like from the Spurs fan base is, don't, if we play badly, it's the South Korean fans that get blamed. Sorry, yesterday the players were shit.
Yeah,
they were shocking. I think they were rubbish.
And the whole home fans, international fans, I don't think it's exclusive to Spurs.
No, it's not.
In terms of Chelsea, the Chelsea fan base on Twitter are terrible. You've got the proper Chelsea and then the ones who, obviously, the African fans, the American fans, are, and you always hear the same argument. Oh, how many times have you been to Stamford Bridge?
I hate that. But that's my thing.
People are waking up at 4 a.m.
I'm sorry, I can tell you right now, whenever I go to Jamaica, right, Arsenal play at 7 a.m. Jamaican time.
Yeah.
I'm not awake.
Mm.
The last time I woke up, actually, we were 4-0 down at Anfield.
You turned over, turned the pillow over and went back to bed.
Okay, I'm going back to sleep.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's like, I've travelled quite a lot and I've tried to watch Arsenal, whether it be Jamaica, Japan, anywhere I am. And I respect what international fans do because I personally couldn't do it. I'm waking up at 7 a.m. to watch my team and then win, lose or draw, I'm supposed to complete my whole day. Sometimes there'll be fans internationally, they're booking meeting rooms at 3 o'clock on a Champions League night so that they can watch their team play. And I think that kind of dedication, you have to respect it. And it's almost like, for me, it's rooted in racism personally.
Yeah.
No one can say, well, you're making it a thing, it's the truth. British people don't like the truth, we're keeping it 100, and that's just that. And it needs to stop. At the end of the day, the Premier League has long evolved past England, right? You guys will all acknowledge football is the biggest sport on the planet, but you guys expect football fans to just be in one country? That doesn't make any sense. It's the most watched league on the planet. So I agree with Philippa in saying tourists paying a premium price, then the club, from a business point of view, they will see, oh, there's people willing to spend this much money, So you can raise the price, but then it's like you also have to think about the locals who are necessarily not having access to the same amount of money as some of the people who live overseas. Mm. And it's like you've got to keep a balance. You can't mm-hmm. say yeah. we're going to raise it and then all of a sudden now, let's say international fans can't make games. Now you've got empty seats because you've priced out
everybody
yeah. everyone else.
That's my thing.
And I feel like that's been a trend in football over the years because yeah. mm-hmm. you still see people saying it was a working class sport. No one from the upper class used to come and watch football. Mm. And there's still people that complain about ticket prices now. Yeah. Even ticket prices now for average people, I think they're ridiculous.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Yeah, no, they yeah. are.
Like, they are mm-hmm. crazy expensive.
Category Spurs is more than £100. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous.
Crazy expensive. So for me, I just think it's a bit ignorant. Like, at the end of the day, whether you support from your telly, from your radio, from the stadium, whatever you are, you're all a fan of that one club. And at the end of the day, that club winning makes you all happy.
Mm.
So I don't think it doesn't matter where you watch the football from.
Absolutely. Exactly.
And, mm-hmm. it shouldn't matter what made you love that club in the first place. Like, for all of us, like, we've supported our clubs from when we were kids. Like, we don't remember not supporting our teams. But whether it's a player or whoever it is the reason why you support that club. Like, I know there are a lot of American Spurs fans that were fans of the basketball team, the San Antonio Spurs, and they're fans and they saw Spurs. It's like, no, but it's random.
Why did you look at me like that?
The Americans have never beaten the allegations, man.
Whatever it is that makes you like, yeah. I don't think there shouldn't be a hierarchy of who's what.
But you know what's crazy? There's even kids in this country who will tell you, as an Arsenal fan, I support Arsenal because of Henry. It all started with Henry.
Yeah, like, mm.
and that doesn't make it any different than a 13-year-old South Korean kid who's now says, I support Tottenham because of Son Heung-min. Mm. It happens. Like, there's no difference in the two. What? Because one was with a British accent, all of a sudden is more acceptable.
And it's absolutely fine. I just didn't like, because I felt like he made a good point, but I felt like he was sidestepping, like, a very valid point, like we said, about the fact that they take advantage of these overseas fans. Mm-hmm. They know that they're coming for the trip, so they will ramp up the price for everything. And that's my thing. I don't like the fact that they're taking advantage of those fans and therefore in the process pricing out local fans and all of this. But I don't care where you come from. On Thursday, I was like stood around loads of people speaking in Eastern European accent, and they were West Ham fans. And I was just like, rah, this is different. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. It felt good because it's just like the world is changing. It's weird if your club is mad homogenous. So yeah. weird.
You have to remember that how big your club is, the Liverpools, the Arsenals, the Chelsea's, the Tottenham.
Allegedly.
It's the way that she
did my eyebrows. I don't want to miss anyone out.
Someone said, hey, I don't want HR to call me. So I'm going to
It's because of these global fans and how big they make it. Like, when you do the pre-season tours, that's when you see how big your club is. Like, the dedication is ridiculous.
The once in the lifetime opportunity to go to Anfield, to go to the Emirates, to go to Stamford Bridge. Some people will cherish that for the rest of their life. And it's like, especially if it's probably the one opportunity they will get. Hopefully, God willing, you know, you guys get more. It's like win, lose or draw, that's a surreal moment for you because these players that you get up to see every day on TV, taking in the match atmosphere, how it is pre-game, post-game, the locals that you meet, the nice ones, of course. That's all, like, a surreal moment. So what if you lost 4-0, okay, you're angry, you're going back to your club on a Wednesday or next week. This is normal for you. For that one person, if they want to sit there and take two or three pictures to cherish, they're going to do that because they had to get to the UK.
Exactly.
They had to pay probably double the price for their ticket because they probably don't have a membership or not a season ticket holder. And just let them have their moment. It's not that deep.
It's crazy, yeah. I think football fans need to be less. Because I think this is the problem, is that people in this country literally feel like they own the football club.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel some sort of ownership over it. Just because, as you said, the football club is in England. But yeah, I think it's crazy. I think everyone should be accepted. And like, just as excited as whoever you like English fans were for their first game, when you first go into the stadium, you also are also taking pictures, you probably also don't know the chants. So I think like everyone should be like embraced with love and to kind of really experience Premier League football, because it's a special thing to kind of really see, particularly live. I think you get to experience players in a different way than on a TV screen. So yeah, hopefully this conversation, when it does happen again, that there can be much more wider, more honest, more honest talk about what's really going on. Mm. Sorry, I just want to kind of like move on the conversation because there's two more things I really want to discuss. But before we talk about the Champions League and Europe, I want to talk about what happened in Chelsea's. Don't particularly want to talk about Chelsea's performance because, listen, you know what I'm going to say, Eboli out. But I wanted to talk
Did
about.
Did you say Eboli?
No, I said, oh, well, him as well.
potato.
I wanted to talk about Raheem Sterling, his performance, and the reaction of Chelsea fans. So for those of you who didn't watch the game, Raheem Sterling had a bit of a stinker. So I think he missed about two or three chances. He also missed a penalty. So he took the penalty off Cole Palmer when it was 1-0. He missed the penalty, and then later in the game he had a free kick that was pretty much already gonna about to catch in the
bad chip as well that went wide.
He didn't have a good game. Mm. However, he did get an assist for Cole Palmer, but he was subsequently booed by Chelsea fans. So I don't know, like, for me personally, I don't think you should be booing your own fans. Whatever happens in the course of the match, I think you should be supportive of your players. I think you can boot a team, a collective, but individuals, it's where I draw the line.
To be honest, though, I think Chelsea fans were frustrated with Raheem's performance today, and rightly so. He was, but I think watching him his entire career, that's the worst I've seen him today. Like, was his worst performance for me, but. The first boo after the free kick, it was like, all right, you guys are frustrated. You wanted Palmer to take it. He didn't. Sterling's free kick was awful. Understandable. Then the boo for the substitution, I think that was more towards Poch, not Sterling in a way. And which I kind of understand. Again, you took off Mudryk, who seems to be Chelsea darlings and gets all the patience and understanding in the world. No one's ever booing him.
Shade was not cool. Subtle.
No, it wasn't shade. It was direct.
Okay. Thank you for the clarity.
No problem. But then for me, it was like every time Sterling touched the ball, there was boos. And I almost had to think, is he an ex-Tottenham player? Like, that's playing for Leicester City. The reason why you want to boo him, ex-Arsenal player. Like, this is... No, I'm just saying, because like that's the way I would expect Chelsea fans to boo Jorginho, for example. Mm. If he comes back to Stamford, that's the way I expect. You're now Arsenal, you're no longer a player. But you're booing your own player. And for me, the penalty thing, Sterling won't be the first person where a teammate, I don't know if Palmer wanted to give it or not, I did tune in after 20 minutes, but it won't be the first time you've given your teammate low on confidence the penalty to try and get them back their confidence.
Oh, like when they did it like,
have it. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, for me, even if you miss the pen, right, I think even as a team of players, the Chelsea boys need to show that they're kind of supportive of a teammate going through a tough time. Because for me, if you're a team that's in unison, let's say, for example, Ella, if Nunes misses a penalty, he's poor, he misses.
He missed one the other week.
Yeah, but if he does, I expect the likes of Salah to just come around him and be like, it's all right, keep your head up, you go again. You showed that unity. And I don't feel like Chelsea players necessarily have...
I disagree with that. So Cole Palmer has come out and said online, because Sterling apologised, and Cole Palmer said there's nothing to apologise for, and made it sound like it wasn't his fault. Like, I think what happened was Cole Palmer was going to take the penalty. Mm-hmm. Sterling asked for it. Cole Palmer gave it to him. Yeah. And Chelsea fans are like...
I don't mean necessarily after the fact. I'm talking about on the pitch.
Yeah.
It was like, you miss it, head down, and it's like, all right, everyone sort of side-eyeing him. Why did you
kind of pat
that?
His back, you big him up, say
when
Kane missed
team.
The penalty, like, was it Declan Rice that, or somebody came to pull him up and say, come on,
it's
let's
fine.
Go in.
Yeah, we'll
and
get
I, don't, I just, I, yeah, right now, something. I don't get that with the Chelsea players. I don't get that they get along. Mm. And it's like, okay, you guys are doing that as a team. How do you expect better from your fans if the team looks like it's in disarray itself?
A lack of leadership.
I was going to say, because as a Chelsea fan, like, I watch Arsenal, I watch Spurs, I watch Liverpool, I watch West Ham, and you can see that the players really like each other.
Yeah.
I think with Chelsea, there's a couple of players where it looks like they're like quite pally, but it doesn't seem like they're a group.
like clicks.
Do you think, like, obviously you watch them more, you know more about
I disagree that I think they're their cliques. I think that they don't get along. I just don't know whether... I think in all of these teams, you have experience, you have leadership. So you have somebody who's going to bring everybody together.
My captain is 24.
Yeah. So who's your captain?
Odegaard.
So he's been there how many seasons?
Two and a bit seasons.
So you have somebody there who kind of has been there for a bit of time, and a group of players have also who have played together for longer than 8 months or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have a Chelsea team who are very new. Our captain is injured. You got a vice captain who's on the bench, and then you have Conor Gallagher.
That's the thing, like, because in a normal situation, the captain would then pull rank and say the penalty should stay with the penalty taker.
But also, he would be the one dragging or passing on the back. And I think the problem with Chelsea fans, I don't think it was just Raheem's performance today. I think Chelsea fans have had a problem with Raheem for a long time, and this is the reason why I didn't want Raheem Sterling at Chelsea. Not because I don't think he's good enough. Not because I don't think he can do something for my club. It's because of the fans. I knew they wouldn't be patient, and they wouldn't surround him with the kind of courtesy that you see with the Conor Gallagher's or the Mason Mounts. I've seen Mason Mount pull some.
They're not proper Chels.
Yeah,
nobody's. If
we're gonna
get the selection criteria, proper Chels, Raheem's got a big problem.
Mm. I wanted to No, but it's true. Like,
it's true.
If I'm gonna go deep, which I'm not gonna do, like after the cameras are off, I will tell you exactly what I think the issue is. Mm. But I think. And the other problem is that they look at his wages and they think, oh, he's on this amount of money, so it needs to be equal in X. And my issue is that what Raheem Sterling is and what Chelsea fans and Chelsea Football Club want him to be are two completely different things. And there was never going to align, not in this period of Chelsea. Mm. Maybe if he came to Chelsea like 3 seasons ago, it could have worked. Not with him surrounding by potential. Not talent. They're not talented, but their potential. At Man City, he had world-class players. Even in England, he has certified world-class players around him. Even at Liverpool team he was with, he had the Suarez and the Sturridges. You look at the Chelsea team and you look at a lot of potential, potentially world-class, potentially like really good players, but he's not surrounded by other world-class players, is he? So what you want him to do...
I was going to say, but the argument for... And I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm just saying, like, the argument is that you've named him in, like, 3 very good setups.
Yeah.
Is he not meant to be that person now for other people?
And that's my problem, is that he's never going to be that guy.
Sterling's a really good player. Mm-hmm. And that's just how I see him. For me, he won't be your Eden Hazard. Mm. He's never going to be your Hazard, your Sanchez. He's not that type of player. Mm-hmm. And I think what's funny with Chelsea fans, especially the ones online, because I was arguing with them all day. They're very funny.
Not me, by the way.
No, I was, because I called them out on the hypocrisy. Even when you look at how much patience and time Chelsea fans have with Enzo Fernandez, I've seen them have some shockers in the middle of the park for Chelsea. And... They protect him, they say give him time, and I get it, okay, Sterling is a senior figure. Being a senior figure doesn't mean that you can't struggle to adapt to a new team.
Or you're low on confidence, because I think he's low on confidence.
Right? Yeah. Being one of your highest earners, I get it, okay, it comes with some responsibility. You guys have spent, I'm not even being shady, £200 million on 2 midfielders, and they have all the time in the world to get it right. Right? Mm. Sterling away at the Etihad, even that performance, Chelsea fans were cursing and cursing and cursing. But he's the reason you left with a point anyways. Mm. So it's just like, for me, he's had some fantastic moments for Chelsea this season alone, despite their league position, that he deserves some grace.
Yeah.
I think it was very irresponsible of Pochettino to not take him out the firing line.
Yeah.
I think, I don't care how old you are, that's so irresponsible from a manager. And... he's gonna put it right. I think today he'll probably feel like shit, honestly, after that performance. He knows he was bad.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely knows he was bad. But what Chelsea fans done today, it's nasty.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not nice.
And I think regardless of whether someone's playing badly or not, you cannot
be in the stadium and be booing your own players. Because this happened when Davinson Sanchez, before he left, he came off the bench at Spurs because there was an injury, and he came on earlier in the first half, and the stadium started booing him, and he made God knows how many mistakes when he came onto the pitch. And I just think it's really nasty and it's really horrible to boo your own player. There's a difference, like, cuss them online all you want because they're not going to read your tweets. Like, we're all sat here sometimes and we're just like, we're pissed off with certain players. But to go to a stadium knowing that you're paying money, knowing that your responsibility as a fan in that stadium is to get behind your team and create the atmosphere that your team needs to win the game, to boo your own player, I just think that's nasty. Like, it's just not nice.
Nah. And it's, they forget that these people are actually people.
Yeah, like, how do you expect them to perform if every time they touch the ball, you're booing
them? If
you're,
like, at your desk in front of your laptop and your manager's just like, boo, boo, how would you work? No, but, like, it's so true. And it
reminds me of the Xhaka situation against the Palace game. The only thing that I think is a bit different is that Xhaka got booed off the pitch because we were losing and he was walking. And then he kind of done the, you know, the cup in his
mouth. That was good.
Then dashed off the shirt.
And he threw the captain's armband. So it was just like, whoa, who do you think you are? But then he had a crazy redemption arc and, like, everyone forgot about
that
Palace incident. For me, I think, leave Chelsea. Like, that's for me, I feel like Sterling's at a point in his career where is now your time to collect as much as you can. From a business point of view, make of that what you will, and enjoy your football. At the end of the day, we're talking about someone with 3 Premier League titles. In some of the seasons, he was one of City's best players, and he still has to fight tooth and nail for this league to respect him, even before he went to Chelsea. So I just don't know why.
We all know why.
To a certain degree, yes, but then I don't. Certain other English players, I don't see that with. That's why
from the moment they put that on that article and they talked about his gun tattoo and how he shot someone again, we knew, like, the way that the country treats Sterling, like, and we can, I'll compare 2 black players, is not the same as the way that, for example, like, Marcus Rashford is treated. I think what's happening to Marcus is changing now, but Sterling has never had grace. Ever.
And Phil Foden both bought their mums a gaff at the same time, and it was reported on completely different.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, Sterling does a lot of charity work. Yeah. Like, a lot of the stuff that Marcus Rashford was up front, I know he was feeding the kids, that's very important. But Raheem Sterling, like, he does a lot of charity work.
Here and in Jamaica,
and his girl as well. Like, they do a lot. It's just
they've never respected him. Right,
they've never taken to him.
And I don't actually think, like, outside of the pitch, I don't think Sterling ever bought club or country disgrace. I think he's always been a model professional. Like, he does exactly what he wants, but let's just say he's not on the fake humble gimmick, and rightly so. He's had a successful career. You don't stay at a Man City for that long if you're not good. And I get the pressure to what Philip was saying. Like, at the end of the day, you are more senior in this Chelsea team. You're going to have a lot of pressure because people will use age to hide the fact that some of these players that Chelsea bought are absolutely fucking shit. Right? No offence. But they are.
It depends who you're talking about.
Madueke, shocking. Madrid.
Scored an amazing goal today.
Oh, poor shit player scores. Well, hey.
I'll remind you that when next time goodness. A shit Arsenal goes.
Yeah, your point. You're making a really good point, Jack.
When we derailed. Back to the point.
I'm going to spend one more minute on this because I really want to talk about Arsenal. So.
Yeah, so it's just like, for me, it's sort of like, I feel like as well, they're using Sterling to deflect off what they want, like the Chelsea fan base. I think they want a team where Modric is your mainstay winger.
I don't think Chelsea fan base do.
I think there's, well, from what I see.
I think he's a very polarizing figure. Not in the same way as Sterling. Listen, the hatred for and I do say hatred because I think it's hatred at this point. But Mudrik is very polarizing.
What does Faye think of Mudrik? I was genuinely asking because
All I'm saying is she's not beating the allegations.
I feel like Chelsea fans have this when because I sort of had the same thing with Kai Havertz. It was like, Arsenal fans had a preconception of him at Chelsea, and based on that, they wasn't willing to give him any type of patience, any type of grace to start performing. And I feel like, okay, Sterling's been there a season longer, but he also has that same pressure, and it's not fair because where the Chelsea team is, Not even Mbappe could save you. Sorry. Like, maybe he could save you to fifth place. That's it. Everyone else in that team, shocking. Underperforming and shocking.
It's like everybody. Gusto's good.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry, Malagusto. My bad. But, yeah, we can move
Cole
on.
Palmer.
Yeah, Cole Palmer's amazing. Let's be for real. It's cold Palmer. Sorry. Okay, yeah, let's wrap up the Sterling. I do you know what? For his sake, I hope he leaves and balls out at another team. Because
Arsenal.
I think he'd do well at Arsenal.
We need players.
They need backup because the
but
way
see,
that
he's
not
better
going,
than a backup.
He's not going for backup. Mm.
He's not
going
to go for backup.
And this is where I think when. Although there is that expectation because of what he earned, I actually then think about his next move because of what he earns, what role and what club is going to take him in terms of as in who can afford to buy him. And then with the reputation that you have, like, would he go to Arsenal to come on for when Martinelli is tired or injured?
Yeah, he doesn't want to go to hug bench.
Like, he deserves better than that.
Talking about Arsenal and benches and players. Why are you laughing? You kids. I'm actually not going to go to Shai first. I'm actually going to go to Ella. What did you make of the Champions League game, Arsenal's game, and then subsequently the draw and their chances of winning the big ears?
You know what? I think Arsenal didn't play at their best. I thought Porto were actually really good on that night. But Arsenal got through it. They scored the goal. Odegaard with an amazing assist, I have to say.
It was all right.
It was something. Oh, anyway, sorry, Ella.
Goodness, please.
It was something. But yeah, I think Porto played a really good game. They just couldn't quite get the shots on target that they needed. They didn't have the composure.
Evan Nilsson was making me sick.
There was a couple of their subs. Yeah, the less said, the better. But they got to penalties. And I actually knew Arsenal were going to win from the coin toss because they were going first and it was in front of the Arsenal fans. I didn't think Porto had a chance. I just think, to be honest, yeah, I think it's a big win for Arsenal. Not their best performance, as I said, but they got through it in the quarterfinals. Bayern Munich. I knew they were going to get Bayern Munich. I just knew it. It's just, it had to be.
Look at you, give me some.
It is known.
It had to be. You know what? Bayern haven't been great this season, but
they've regained momentum, though.
And because they're probably going to miss out on the league, they're going to put everything into those two games. So I think Arsenal need to make it hell in their stadium in the first fixture because they don't have any fans, right?
No
so
fans. The Emirates will be full.
They need Arsenal. To go there. They need to go there with a couple
it's
of
okay.
goals.
Eric
Dyer's
coming for
them.
Who?
Lauren.
Oh, wait. Lauren.
Sorry.
Look into that camera and say what you wanted to say to Harry Kane.
Harry Kane. Hat trick for me, please. Home and away. Thank you. Please. Right. I was praying. Actually, this is the fixture I wanted. And this is Harry's time. Turn up, man. I need it.
And what do you make? So, and if they win, that's a big if. 14 years without a quarter final. If they win, they play the winners of Real Madrid and City.
They just got the tougher side of the draw. It's
isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, it's. To be honest, I'm happy because it keeps them occupied. They're going to have to stretch their squad, and that's something I don't think Arsenal have had to do till this point. They're really going to have to stretch their squad. So let's see how they do with that.
Strongest 11 every time.
Yeah, and they're going to have to change it. They're going to have to.
Not in the league, to be fair.
I know, but in the Champions League, you're going
to
have to.
Yeah, otherwise, you have the strongest 11.
Otherwise.
I think our fixtures around the quarterfinals is good. We got a home game and then away to Wolves with no Neto. We should be able to
Wolves
rotate.
Are still there.
I think we should be able to rotate for the Wolves game. But it's my turn now, Tima.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We definitely got the tougher side of the draw. Do you know when I watched it? Yeah, I just turned off my TV. Because I really wanted Barca, but we didn't get them. Personal reasons. With Bayern as a club, I respect. I'm not scared of Thomas Tuchel. Sorry,
do something for me, please.
he doesn't put no fear into me, but I still think, despite that, Arsenal will have to be at their very best over the two legs to go through. Regardless of Bayern Munich's form in the league, it's not the Bundesliga, it's the Champions League, and they have heritage.
Heritage.
for me, I do think Arsenal can beat them, though. I think when you look at the top teams by name, Bayern, City, Real, if you include Barca with that, I think you'll put City and Madrid above Bayern Munich right now in terms of who you want to play. And, you know, last time Gabriel played against Harry Kane, he collected his rent. Nothing happened. So it's just like a couple Tottenham landlord boys in there.
Sorry, but this isn't Harry Kane in the Spurs team. This is Harry Kane with Musiala there right next to him. This is different.
So there's a couple Thomas Tottenham Buller boys in there that obviously they will take the game a bit more, not seriously, but will mean a bit more to them because they're playing Arsenal. Even though Harry Kane, I just trolled, make no mistake, Arsenal have a tough job to contain him for 108 minutes of football. But Eric Dier, I dare Tuchel to start him. I actually dare him.
Up and incarnate.
I think that's his preferred pairing now. What is Dier and De Ligt?
Dier and De Ligt.
I thought he said up and incarnate.
No. How much penalties Arsenal collected at Emirates? Lord. No. It's Dier and De Ligt seems to be his favourite
for
pairing.
For me, Eric Dier again. I don't care. He could be in a Real Madrid shirt, a Bayern shirt. Nothing will make me respect him as a defender. I'm just giving my opinion.
But okay, so just so I know, do you think you make it to the final?
We will have a very, very tough time.
That wasn't the answer
I'm giving you. I'll say,
hello, politician.
I'll say, if we make it to the final, no one can say that we don't deserve to be there. Because
I will say that you don't deserve.
Well, no, because they would have, if they make it there, they would have beaten some heavy hitters. So of course they deserve to be there.
They had to scrape by on penalties against a Porto team that is not even top of the Portuguese league.
Do you know what's crazy with that though? I find it funny how you guys pick and choose when you want to say mentality matters in football. Because if that was any other team, it's a bit loud.
Who are you guys?
That's what I mean. Hmm. If that was any other team and they found the equaliser and it's like they managed to get through the tie, you guys will talk about that's what they do. It doesn't matter how they get there. That's what you guys say. You pick and choose when it says it doesn't matter how they get there, as long as they do it. This, that, and the third. At the end of the day, right? We won our first knockout tie since we played Porto last.
Do you think
in the
it deserves knee slides?
Do I think it deserves what?
Knee slides.
Oh, did you watch? Did you? Did you watch Atletico Madrid after?
Oh, so you're talking about a team that they beat that was top of Serie A. Okay, cool.
So what? Did they not also need penalties to make it through their time?
So a team that is top of Serie A.
What does that have to do with anything? Okay, so back to this, right? At the end of the day, if Arsenal beat Bayern, we would have beat the current champions of Germany to make that semi-final. Tima_GH cannot tell me that we don't deserve
it's
to be in
Tima
that team.
Underscore
whatever.
Whoever you is.
You can't tell me that we don't deserve to be in that semi-final. Oh, and then if we do manage to beat, whether it be City or Real Madrid in that semi-final, we would either be the champions elect of La Liga in Real Madrid, or the current European champions and Premier League champions in Manchester City. So as I said, being on that side of the draw, if Arsenal make it to Wembley, they absolutely deserve to be there. But make no mistake, they will have to be at their very best to beat these teams. And that is just that. I'm not going to sit here and say that we can't beat Bayern. I believe we can.
And hopefully they don't.
Yeah. It's going to be a bigger hate watch than last season. Trust me. I'm ready.
Oh, and lastly, I also think the Emirates will be absolutely rocking for that game.
Oh, yeah,
especially
for sure.
Because there is no
Bayern fans.
No German fans. But in that, we have to try our best to turn them over. Because for me, when it comes to Arsenal, I have no problem being realistic. If we take a 1-0 lead to Munich, that's an uphill battle for us to make it through to that semi-final.
Who was the German club?
Sorry, I can't.
It was Frankfurt.
Frankfurt. And they infiltrated.
I don't think it was last season. I think the season before that. Against Barca. Okay.
Yeah, and they infiltrated.
The whole stadium was white.
Thank you, guys. Hopefully Arsenal don't. Hopefully they end in tears. But that's been a interesting episode, actually. Mm. Not much of the agenda was covered, but hey-ho, that's a sign of a good conversation.
Thank you anyways, West Ham, for taking a point at Villa. Thank you very much.
I got carried away, my bad.
Thank you for joining us. Please make sure you follow us on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on TikTok at Gold Diggers UK and Gold Diggers UK _ on Instagram. Did I get it right?
Yes. Yes.
And make sure you're following us all individually. Until next time. See you later.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.